Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
That's right. Hour away from the franchise tag extension deadline. And there are a ton of guys. Bud Dupree, notably Dak Prescott, also watching the clock go tick-tock here. Running out of time. So many players who were franchise tagged and so many guys trying to get long-term deals done and, from the looks of things, failing at it because of the pandemic rearing its ugly head and guys not knowing exactly, or teams not knowing exactly what to do with their money at this point. So I do need to tell you guys that we are brought to you by Pittsburgh's number one Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram dealer, ShorkyNorthHills.com. Craig Riley is producing. He last night got absolutely obliterated, got hammered on Garage Sports Trivia on the Fan Instagram page, and he'll be back there next Tuesday, brought to you by Precision Garage and BetRivers.com. All right, here's our 93.7 The Fan NFL Insider, John Clayton, the Braddock's own and one of the best football reporters of all time with us here on The Fan. John, do you think a Bud Dupree contract extension gets done in the next hour?
No, I don't. I think it's pretty much gone. Because, again, remember, it'd be nice to be able to do, but if you pay him, it's then that much tougher to get T.J. Watt done in the next year or so. So I just think that it's one of those things where he's here this year. You'd like to see if he can get something done at the last minute, but I think it's going to be very difficult. And you see it's very difficult anyways, because you look at the 14 franchise guys, the only one that's done so far is Chris Jones. I thought that Dak Prescott could get done. That's not looking good right now. But at this stage, I think that you can see that there's going to be 13 that'll be on one-year contracts.
John, I'm just seeing something as of literally 40 seconds ago suggesting that the Titans and Derrick Henry are actually going to get a deal done before the deadline.
Wow.
That strikes me as, if there is another joining Chris Jones, that strikes me as a very bad plan by the Tennessee Titans to lock up a guy at that position.
Yeah, because if they do get one, I'm a little surprised. Again, his value is probably about $12 or $13 million. But what you can probably see is that look at the bargains that's going to be available next year for running backs, because the last time, they can get the cap flat at 198.2. You go back to 2011 to 2012, there was a 20% decrease in franchise players. And you've got 10 running backs from 2017 that are going to be up. And so you can probably get them at under $10 million a year. Mm. Then I know Derek is important for the franchise, but I thought, because again, what they could have done is that you keep him on the tag and you tag him again, so his salary goes up 20%, and even though you don't have the long-term deal, you have him basically on a two-year deal at $24 million, which is so not bad.
John Clayton with us. John, can you take us through the grievance process for Dupree, who is arguing that he should be paid like a defensive end on the franchise tag instead of a linebacker? What's that all about?
Well, it's a hard one to be able to win. Now, I don't know, because I don't think there was any language changes in the new CBA, because the way the old CBA was, I mean, you can try to do it, but you're going to fail. Because, again, the point is that I played defensive end in a nickel more than I'm playing outside linebacker in a 3-4. Well, you go to Jimmy Graham, he challenged it, and he did not win because he's saying, hey, I was more flexed out as a wide receiver than a tight end.
So what's the point then, really, John? What's the point of it all then?
Well, the point of it is $2 million. I mean, the idea, because again, it's like, okay, what is your spot? It's like, it's an outside linebacker in a 3-4 defense. And like, for example, I know that Leonard Williams wasn't happy at getting the 16-1, as a defensive tackle, but hey, that's what it is. And what you can see is, Baltimore is a little bit ahead of the game because, they had that with Terrell Suggs years ago when he made the fight for the linebackers. But what they ended up doing was settling with him, and even though it wasn't the players, Players Association, it was just an individual settlement with the Ravens. Mm-hmm. And so they cut the middle and gave him the number between the linebacker and the defensive end. And they did the same thing this year with Matthew Judon. I mean, because you notice that here you have Dupree and Shaquille Barrett over at 15-8. Well, what they did with Matthew Judon is it gave him 16.8. So, and 17.8 for the defensive end. So they kind of cut the difference. And so you notice he's not one that's filing for anything because they gave him a settlement of giving him basically $1 million a year extra.
John, while we're on the matter of finances, how catastrophic, how much of a problem is it going to be for teams if the salary cap takes a big drop as opposed to the normal gains that teams are accustomed to it making every year?
Oh, if they don't get a deal done in Dallas, that's going to be pulverizing for Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys because they'll have eight players, if you include Dak Prescott, eating up $145 million of a cap that's going to be $198.2. That would be devastating. A team like Philadelphia is going to be devastated. They're already $60 million over the cap.
How about the Steelers, John? Are they in okay shape?
They're going to have to do a little bit of a reset themselves because I think I might have to go off my memory here, but I think they're probably got about maybe $20 million of room next year, but then they have a bunch of deals to get done too. Mm-hmm. So, it's going to put pressure on them. And then you have the big number, $45 million cap number on Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah.
So he's going to have to do an extension, even though, that may be his last year next year.
John Clayton with us. John, is there a deadline for the grievance to get settled with Dupree? Does that have to get done in the next hour too?
No. I mean, that's one that you fight and wait to see where the ruling's going to be and the timing of the ruling. But, you can't have an expedited thing like this in this type of short period of time. So it'll be, if they win, then they can get a financial settlement out of it. I mean, either getting, the 17-8, or if they lose, they just stay at 15.8.
Do you think that...
John,
sorry, Chris, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, was there a reason why this sort of... situation that Dupree's grievance is centered around wasn't a bigger focus of the players in the last collective bargaining negotiation?
No, because I'll even use the logic of Gene Upshaw. It's like, okay, there's a lot of big fish to fry in these deals. And when you're talking, particularly it's a little bit more this year because there was 14, but when you're talking basically five players a year, if you go back to there was, five players in 2018 and six in 2019, and and remember, I mean, there'll be over 20 next year because it's tied to the cap, and if it's going to be a flat cap, then it's going to be 20 to 24 players of a good franchise because many of them are going to come in at a bargain number. Because you go back to 2011, there was a 20% decrease of the franchise number, but with a flat cap and the way things are. So, like, for example, it puts maybe the Steelers in a position to get a nice low cap number as a franchise guy on James Conner, because I know there was like a $2.5 million decrease in running backs from 2011 to 2012 as far as franchise tag, and a lot of those running backs are just going to get tagged.
John Clayton with us. John, what's been the reaction around the league to the Myles Garrett extension?
I mean, probably didn't go well with Mason Rudolph. I'm sure Steeler fans aren't happy about it, but I think you could see the expectation is that he was going to top Khalil Mack, and now he becomes the highest paid defensive player in NFL history. So I think it kind of goes right in line, although the one thing is that it's so hard to get deals done with a flat cap coming up that you're not going to see many get done. But he was one that they wanted to get done, and they did get done. And I think it's pretty well fair because if this were a normal year, he would have easily got the $25 million. It's tougher right now because, you know, you've got a flat cap and you have to worry about next year's cap along with this year's cap. But they had so much room. I mean, they had $37 million of cap room. Oh, it's even more than that because they did Olivier Vernon and saved $4 million. So it's like, okay, the $4 million that they saved on Olivier Vernon, kick it a little bit into Myles Garrett, and now you have one defensive end who's your best tied up for 5 years.
John, if Myles Garrett's worth that, what's T.J. Watt worth?
Probably 17, because remember, Watt's now in his 30s. And
no, T.J. You know, Watt, not J.J.
T.J. Watt,
okay, yeah. But I'd say T.J., well, again, it's like I'd say right now 16.
Okay. That's interesting to hear because they're, his numbers are very close to Garrett's.
Better than in certain counting numbers.
And Bud Dupree doesn't want to hear this, and so not just Shaq Barrett, but it's like, okay, there's a difference in the price of a defensive end versus the price of a linebacker. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you figure that I know that Mack got the 23.5, and that stunned everybody because, again, he's a linebacker, but usually there's a $2 to $3 million difference between a D end and a linebacker. So, you know, I don't know if Watt does have the chance to get the 20, but I would tend to think it's going to be very, very difficult.
John Clayton with us. John, do you think we see teams like the Steelers report to training camp in 2 weeks?
Right now I'm starting to doubt it. I'm thinking it's now going to be more August the 10th, which is going to create all kind of problems because if they can't get something done in the Friday conference call, I mean, technically players from the Chiefs and the Texans, rookies, are supposed to start reporting on Saturday, and I don't know if that's going to hold up, but if they can't get something done, because again, what they want is that 47-day ramp-up period, and right now they've raised the question the players have about trying to practice in the hot spots, and if they can't practice in the hot spots, where do they go? That'll delay everything. Then, because again, you've got California with the three teams there, you've got Arizona with the one team there, you got Texas with two teams, you got Florida with three teams. All those things, if they have to be relocated, which I don't think they should, but if they have to be, then that's going to delay everything. So they've got to get this thing figured out by tomorrow. If not, I think things start the second week of August.
Well, John, if that's the case, then I've got to believe that the start of the season is going to be delayed. As of right now, do you think that Chiefs and Texans game happens as scheduled?
Right now, I'm starting to question it because what they'll probably have to do is that there are mechanisms, because they learned this from 2011 in the schedule, that you just move the two teams back, and because you got like in week two, the bye weeks are all kind of matched up, and so you can kind of move things back there, but that could delay the start of the season. And I'm not saying moving every team back, but I'm saying that you move the first week to a certain area, and then you move all the teams that have the bye weeks. There's all kind of things that are there that you can do to make it work, but that could mean that this thing would not – you start with the third week of the regular season as opposed to the first 2 weeks. Because, again, both sides agree you need a 47-day ramp-up period to get ready for the season. And that's been agreed upon. And so if you start it 2 weeks later, then that's going to take the first 2 weeks and make them void because you'll still be in the training process.
John, how do you think the NFL would react to big-time spring college football?
Right now, it makes it tough to be able to scout, but they at this stage, I mean, they want to cap the draft as it is because what they anticipate is many players would just not opt to stay in school. They'll try to come out and then be in the NFL draft. I mean, like Trevor Lawrence and some of the top players, and many of the top players, and agents are going to talk the players into saying, "Don't worry about the college season. We'll just go into the NFL if we have the opportunity."
John, is the NFL in general right now, we just talked about kind of the scheduling and the nature of things and what they might have to do as far as adjusting training camp in the season. Do they have a handle on like their protocols or everything? Because just as I take things from a bird's eye view, it does not seem like there is a lot settled yet with the league and the Players Association as to how to get this season off the ground and do things.
Yeah, but I mean, you can see that naturally the players have to worry about safety, but then there's some unreasonable things that have come into the negotiation, like the idea of putting 35% in escrow for a player. I mean, please, that's an insult. It's like you're risking your body, and then it's like you may get the money next year. That's wrong, okay? The player's asking for testing every day. That's ridiculous. you know, because now that takes away from the general population with the testing. I mean, you're telling me that you're going to let an NFL season go where each day you have 3,000 tests. What about everybody else in the country? That's selfish. I mean, do it every other day, every third day. I mean, you know, then you really put yourself in a position, if you're the player asking for that, that you're asking for too much. But I think that they're right in saying that let's not have a preseason. You know, and, you know, can those guys come in on that, you know, at least over the weekend and stuff like that. So, honestly, it's like you just got to negotiate it. And, you know, you can see the deadlines haven't really helped the franchise tag. I think the deadline's Friday, because if it doesn't, so they can't get agreement on a lot of these things, then it's going to move things back, and moving things back doesn't help.
93.7 The Fan NFL Insider, the great John Clayton. John, thank you so much. We'll do it again next week.
Okay, sounds good.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.